I have four topics that I'd like to cover today, which you may have seen on this outline. And we begin on Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, going on to Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. And the four sugyas that I wanted to focus on are Mechlekat Yomes, Ema Charusa, Tzinei HaBarzel, and what are the Shiurim of the three Minim. I mean, we're not up to Esther yet, but at least Ulof, Hadas, and Arov. And all these cases, obviously, it's critical to go through Rashi and Tosus and all the Rishonim, but we're going to rely on the Yalkut HaBiurim here that gives us a summary. So let's start with the first on the list, Nechlekat HaTiyomes. In the Gemara itself, the Gemara quotes Rav Papa, and this is about 10 lines down from the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Boy Rav Papa, Nechlekat HaTiyomes. So we want to understand what is Nechlekat HaTiyomes. So we'll take a look at Rashi, and we have a summary of Rashi here in the Yalkut HaBiurim. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Shnei Olam Elyonim Emtsoim Shesham HaShidra Kala Kola. And Nechlekut Zemizem. So up until this point, Rashi is pretty clear. He says that there are two olim that rise up above all the other olim of the lulav. Well, what's a good word in English for olim?
Leaves.
Okay. I don't know, for some reason I don't think of the word leaf, you know, when I think of the oli ha lulav. But any event, okay. So Rashi says that there are two main olim. We'll see other Rishonim are going to say it's one, but Rashi holds it's two. And that's they rise up above the top part of the Shidra. So the Shidra ends, and these two Olim, right in the middle of all the other Olim, are the ones that shoot forward. They project forward, and those two Olim, which are meant to be connected to each other or close to each other, Nechleku Zemizem. They were separated one from the other. So in effect, what Rashi's saying up until this point is we're not talking about taking one Ola and splitting it in half, or many Olam and splitting it in half, but we're talking about two Olam that by definition are two separate Olam, but yet they belong together. They should be, we should say, maybe Tzmudim Zelaz. And instead, what we have is Nechleka. It was split. Shnei Olam Yonim Tzom Shasham Asijakola Nechleku Zemizem. These two Olam were separated one from the other. So you'll notice that in Rashi, he doesn't talk about Gaba, Gimel Beis Hei. That doesn't, you know, which all the Rishonim are talking about Gaba. He doesn't have that word Gaba here, because he's talking about two different Olam. So the Rashi is pretty clear. What gets ambiguous is when we read the Sefer of Rashi. That's why I pointed out on Monday. He says, Venistika HaShidra. It's not just a problem with the Shnei Olam Elyonim. You know, if that Rashi stopped there, you know, quit while you're ahead, I would have probably understood Rashi. But once I read the Sefer of Rashi, it becomes quite unclear what he means, Nistika Shidra. So but it's not just that these two Olam are separate one another. But since these two Olam rise up above the Shidra, there's already a split in the Shidra. Right? So this split goes really, really, you know, it's a great lengthy split. Now, what does Rashi mean in the last four words? That's even more ambiguous. Rashi says, Ad ha'olim shalamata mehem. You know, I hate when he uses this pronoun mehem, and I don't know what he's referring to. Ad ha'olim. You see, if Rashi would have said, Ad ha'olim shalamala mehem, now even that wouldn't be too good. If he would have said, yeah, let me rewrite the Rashi for you. What I'm saying is absolutely wrong. We're just saying, just what would have made me happy is if Rashi would have said, Nistika HaShidra Ad HaOlim Shalamala Mimena. Mimena meaning referred to the Shidra. You know, it's the Shidra split up into the Olim that shoot out above the Shidra. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Nistika HaShidra Ad. You know, it's how severe or how, you know, how profound is this tzedek in the Shidra? It reaches the olim shalamata mehem. There are olim that shoot up above the Shidra, and there are olim below the Shidra. Again, when he says below the Shidra, I think he means below the top of the Shidra.
Why not,
no?
Why not the Teomis?
The Teomis is the highest one. So all the other leaves...
Wait, one second, Rich. You lost me already.
He says the Teomis is the highest leaf in the middle. El Yonim and Soya. Those are the highest ones.
Oh, okay. No, are we talking about one leaf or two? That's how one.
Whatever.
No, I think that's very important.
Whatever, because then there are the other leaves. Where do they start from? They start from the Shedra and they come up.
Okay.
So the very top leaves, other than the Teomis, are attached to the side of the Shedra and go up. So they are underneath the top of the Shedra. The origin of those leaves comes from the Shedra. And they extend up, but they don't extend up as high as the Teomis, because the Teomis is the highest point in the middle.
Rashi has two top leaves.
Mitch, I honestly don't see that in the words of Rashi. You assume, again, there may be a lot of things that you're saying here that are correct, and I have to learn from them, but I lost you from the get-go, and I'm sorry to be mit akesh, as they say on this point, but... I think you're working with a premise that there's a Teomis and then the Shnei Elyonim. I thought Rashi's telling you Nechlecha Teomis. What is the Teomis?
Right.
And Rashi's identifying the Teomis as Shnei Olam Elyonim and Tzoyim.
Right.
There's nothing other than those. There's no Teomis that exists outside of
it. Then when he goes, the split now is extending down the Shedra.
Oh, down to the Shedra.
How far down in the Shedra until the point where the next lower leaves are coming out.
Ah, so in other words, the next little leaves are below the top of the Shedra.
Right.
Okay, good. So that's more or less the way I understood.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
Avi, what do you say?
I was going to say the reason Rashi used the word mayhem is because he's talking about, it goes back on the first two Olim.
Right.
Rashi doesn't have one leaf on top. Rashi decided there's two on top, the Seder. Okay,
right.
There's two leaves on the very top. Then you have the Seder coming down. Then in the next, whatever space down in the Seder, the next leaves come up. And the next leaves come up, and the Shedra is split.
Wait, just again.
Second,
if you go slowly, I'm a very slow learner here. Sorry, I apologize.
I think Rashi.
But what is mayhem? Mayhem means what? The original two?
Yeah, the original two that Rashi.
That's not what you said, Mitch. No.
The Teomis.
What you were saying is that there are. That the Olim Lamata are not the same as the Shnei Olim Elyon.
No, they're not.
They're not. You're saying, Alfie, that they are.
Yeah.
They're two different, Machlok Sakrona.
No, the Olim Lamata are not the two, the Teomis.
Right, the Teomis is the Shnei Olim Elyon, and then Rashi wants to tell you how severe, as Mitch said, how split is the Shidra that goes down to another two all, not the same two all that we were talking about before.
Correct.
Oh, you do accept that.
Yes, one goes
level
below. One below.
Yeah, one level below.
Oh, so you both saying the same thing.
Ad ha'olim shalamata mayhem, until the leaves that are right below them meaning the shnei olim el yainim.
That's how you can connect.
And wait, just one second. And there are no olim in the middle between those two and these two?
Correct.
Well, wait a second. You're saying there are the two Elyonim, and then you're saying there are the two Lamata Mehem. There's nothing in between?
No,
correct. The very second leaves growing out of the Shedra. The very, very second leaves.
It does sound like you're right, I mean, in the words, but I... You know, I'm going to offer another possibility, which maybe is not Rashi, I don't know. But you could have many, many different olim. The two middle ones are split. And then the Shidra is split up into the point of the olim that shoot out from the Shidra on the top of the Shidra. But there may be many olim in between. In other words, I'm not too good at drawing pictures, but let's say if this is the Shidra here,
okay,
right, and you've got these two Olim that come up Elyonim,
right?
You know, the Shidra, there may be Olim over here, and Rashi's telling you in the split in the Shidra, how far down did the Shidra split?
Right.
I'm not sure that Rashi has to mean, although the words don't sound like that, that there are no Olim other than these two. In other words, if this is your top point of the Shidra, we'll call this
right.
the the gova, for lack of another word, the gova shidra.
Right.
Rashi's saying the shidra is split down to the point of the olim that are here. I'm not sure.
The next leaves come up to there.
Yeah, but that I'm not sure. I'm not sure that there are no other leaves here that may come out.
Are you saying the next?
That's why I'm just wondering. You know what I'm saying? Because I can imagine a loof that has many, many olim, but Rashi wants to identify those olim that are below the top point of the shidra. But the word mayhem is very difficult in my shot.
The Luluf doesn't have many olim. There's two, then there's two, and then there's two, and then there's two, and then there's two.
So how many are there? 10?
There could be, it depends how long the Luluf is.
Right.
And the bottom one, the top of the one below it always covers the base of the one above it. This here, whatever the distance is, it could be this much, depending on the size.
But I'm asking Avi, why is my why again? In the words of Rashi, why can't there be more?
These don't exist. In the words of Rashi, these don't exist.
But I'm talking theory. You know, if you gave me a lulav right here on the table, could we see in that lulav, in addition to the two olim elyonim, many olim that come out in all the directions, and the ones that are below the top part of the shidra are not the ones directly below the elyonim. Now, there may be a bunch of olim coming through. Rashi doesn't say that, but in the mitzvahs of it,
all the ones, they all come up straight, so they point to the top,
two,
and they come out in pairs. Like if you're pulling off something on the bottom,
no, but I'm just saying you're assuming that there's a pair on top and then there's a pair right below it.
Yeah.
Rashi's referring to the pair right below.
Yeah.
Why can't there be many other pairs of?
Because
of,
it's the first one. It's a small split that goes such a small distance that it only has to go to where the next pair of leaves come out.
Well, no, but how much of a distance is it between the shidra and the olam above the shidra? It's very small. Do you understand what I'm asking?
You pull off a leaf from the side when you want to make some egg or something like that.
Right.
So you see it has that length of attachment. Right. And you pull it off, and there's another one right there, and they go up in pairs all the way to.
There's two tiyamis each with a double leaf.
Yeah, but you see, I need a picture of the shidra because Rashi introduced the shidra. See, that's what. If Rashi would have dropped the sefer, everything would be fine.
Between a single one,
each one of these attaches right below the shidra. So this is the one.
Where's the shidra?
Right here in the middle.
It right ends up.
Oh,
ends
is the shidra?
That's right there.
Okay, and I don't see
there.
The shidra.
There's the
tiyamus,
but this is coming out from.
Right.
So the next two down. That's all. This has to be split that long, and you're there. You need a teeny little.
So I'm saying this point here, right? These are the two elyonim. Let's say point Rashi, and the next one, the very next two. Are you saying that the shidra is here?
Yeah, and
they come out of the shidra. All these come out of the shidra.
Tiny little split there. That's it.
If
it went down way below, then it's a big split. But what are you looking for?
And so why does Rashi need that the shidra is split? What forced Rashi to introduce that? Why couldn't Rashi quit while he's ahead, as I asked you before?
Okay. He wants it to be bigger than just the tiyamus. Not only is the tiyamus split, but there's a tiny little crack in the top of the shidra.
I wish I knew what little birdie whispered into Rashi's ear that the shidra was split. Okay.
I don't know why he said it, but that's what I think.
I'm saying that's really the challenge in this.
By splitting the shidra, he has the two tiyamuses growing out of each half. He has one out of each half of the shidra. He has one of these two tiyamuses growing out.
All right.
That's what.
Look, let's go on and see if we can at least make some progress because our time is limited. Yesha Pirshu, Sheha'olahem Tzai Ha'elyon. Okay, so now we're talking about one Olah, whereas Rashi spoke about two Olim. Sha'asui Mishnei Olim. So Rashi is now referring to that one Olah when he calls it Shnei Olim because that one Olah itself is made up of two Olim.
Right.
So now we're getting to the Gav, what I call the Gav, which is the point which attaches two Olim or two parts of one Olah together. Hamachubar beGabon Nechlak mi Gabo. I guess the Gav is broken, and then we add the Sefer of Rashi Mistika Shidra Ad HaOlim Shalomateve, which is basically word for word what we have in our Rashi. The difference, I think, between the first Pshat in Rashi and the second Pshat in Rashi is whether the Olahem Tzoi is one singular olah, which would reflect the singular of the word tiomis, and it's made up of two olim, or there are actually two olim that form this tiomis.
Each one is made of two.
The Rambam says, Derech oli aluav shein gdelim shnaim shnaim. Well, this is the pshat that each olah. So the Rambam is not focused really on one particular olah. In fact, we're going to soon see that maybe he's got to apply this nechlika to most of the olim of the lulav. I mean, that's what we want to discuss. But so the Rambam is not focused on specific olim at this point. He's just saying that the nature of the olim is such that dvukim gavam. And now that gav is what combines. So let's read it inside. Udvuva gav kol shnei olim hadvukim nikar tiomis. So the Rambam identifies the word tiomis with the gav, not with the olim. Mm-hmm. Right? The gav is what combines and connects the olim, and that gav was broken, was split. The nechlaka tiomis, meaning if that gav that connects the two parts of one ola is split, hainu shehifrid es ha'olim. So now the olim are separated one from the other, and we said before that the derech ole halulav advukim, that they shouldn't be separated, they should be davuk. So basically the word nechlaka is the opposite of the word davuk. The word tiomis is a substitute for the word gav. So nechlaka means instead of being davuk with the gav was split, and therefore the two parts of one ola are now separated one from the other. And then he adds rov olim. It's not enough if one ola does it. And not only that, you know, in order to get a rov, the rov is made up of X number of individual olim. Each individual olim berov olav olam. Most of the gav is broken. So let's say the gav is 5 inches long, right, combining together two olim. Then this split in that olah has to be 3 inches, let's say. And that has to repeat itself multiple times until you get to the rov. That's what it says here. If you take a look in the Me'iri, which he quotes here in footnote Chaf Aleph, he says, I'm eerie because of Sheish Sovereign Lashita Zu, that according to this approach, Pasul Af Im Nechlak Ola Echad. So you don't need Rov Olim. So again, either you need one Ola or you need Rov Olim. In either event, you need Rov. If it's one Ola, you need Rov of that Ola that's detached. You know, the two parts of the Ola detached are split one from the other. Or you have to multiply that, you know, that injury so many times until you get to Rov Ha'olim. That's the difference between the Me'iri and the first shot in the Rambam. The Rush is bothered by this because if you assume that you need Rov Olim, then the language Tiomes in the singular is very difficult. It should be Tiomos in the Rambam. Well, you know, B'dochak, you could say that you need the tiomes of most of the olim, but that's a little bit missing in the Gemara. You know, tiomes means each ola has to be broken, which means most of it is split, and then one ola is not enough to passel the lulav, even though it's split. You need to multiply that split until you hit rov. So it sounds to me that what's fundamental in this machlokas between the Me'iri and the first pshat in the Rambam is whether or not psule lulav apply to each individual ola. In other words, if we would go with the second pshat in Rashi, the ola emtsai is split, then what we're saying is that there's a special status to the ola emtsai. You know, that defines somehow the... You know, you have a shidra and you have olim. Each one, the shidra and the olim, have to exist as an entity that's kosher unto itself. So the lulav is 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's the olim plus the shidra. The olim, as an entity unto itself, have to be whole and intact. Would it be tiomis in singular that one olah would be enough if it's not intact to pass the lulav? According to Yeshu, Pirshu, and Rashi, that olah is something very special. Why? Because it's the olah ha'emtsoya elyon. I'm always tempted to think that the olah emtsoya elyon is itself the shidra. not literally, not biologically, but al-pidin, it has the same status as shidra, which defines the lulav. But okay, we don't have to go that far, and certainly Rashi didn't go that far. But there is something in the Yesha Pirsh that identifies and endows a special status to the Olehem Tzoya Elyon, and that has to be intact. In the Rambam's frame of reference, that doesn't seem to exist. Even the Rashi, as we have the Rashi, that doesn't seem to exist, because Rashi simply refers to Shnei Ha'olim Elyonim and Tzoyim. Or maybe Rashi holds that instead of having identifying one single Olah as holding the key and the essence of the Lulav, we need the two Olim together to hold together the Lulav. The Rambam, on the other hand, does not identify any particular Olim, not the two Emtsayim, or not the Olim Tzoy. He's talking about Rov Olim the way that we have it. And comes over the mirror, he says, no. Once there's a psul in Olah, then the Olah is an integral part of the Lulav. It identifies, defines the Lulav. And one Olah, therefore, if it's possible, because it's split, will possibly the entire Lulav. That's the Meiri's Chiddush. The simple pshat in the Rambam, again, the Rosh has a linguistic objection, but the simple, straightforward pshat in the Rambam seems to be that no, we need olim. You want to create a psul? Well, as long as I have rov olim ksherim, I don't have a psul in the lulav. Okay, now we have the Bahag. The Bahag is not radically different than what we saw here in the Rambam, because the Bahag is also operating with the gav. The gav of the Olah, the Hutza. He doesn't seem to identify, just as Rambam doesn't identify, one particular Olah. On the other hand, he doesn't mention, at least in the ratio of the Bahag, he doesn't mention the plural of many, many Olim that were damaged, that are improper. He says, Hecha, Didviku Adadi, there's a place where the two parts, which are the twins that make up the Tiomes of each Olah, are connected to each other. Divyasim Bahu, meaning that the word Tiomes comes from the verb miyasim, which means the twin. Umashviluchad. And we must have each Olah to be one Olah. If you take an Olah and split it, you no longer have the original Olah. Because that Olah has to be one singular Olah. And when you split it, it no longer is one Olah. That's Chiddush number one. And again, I would insist that the Bahag at this point sounds like the Meiri, in terms of the Metzius that's happening here, that one Olah was damaged. However, let's look at the Sefer. The Gemara, after all, in the name of Rav Papa, raises this as a suffix. What's the status of a Lulavet Nechleka Hatyomis? So what the Bahag is going to do for us now is he's going to place the Safek, the two studim of Rav Popa is vacillating, into a broader context. Shall we compare it to Nifritzu Olav, or should we compare it to Nifridu Olav? Now this is very interesting, because Nifritzu Olav is a case in which I would have to assume the majority of the olim can be described as nifritzu. Otherwise, what's the plural of nifritzu? In other words, why not just say nifratz olim? You know, one olim was broken off or something like that. No, it's nifritzu olim. It sounds like we're talking about a whole mass of olim here, which is a little bit of a stira to the reisha of the Bahag, because in the reisha of the Bahag he speaks about ahu gava. Unless Hahu Gava, he's analyzing biologically each individual Ola and he's describing it. But at the end of the day, you need all the Hutsim, or most of the Hutsim, that were damaged in this way were split. Now, in the second possibility, he's saying it's like Nifridu Ola. Well, this is very interesting, because even though the Gav is broken, but the two parts of the Hutsah are not completely separated one from the other. And that leads me to my next question. What was the Svara to compare Nechleka to Nifritzu? Even if I'll grant you that Nechleka refers to most of the Olim, but it's still not similar to Nifritzu, because Nifritzu means that they're totally detached. Meaning, until now what we've been discussing is that Rove of the Gav was separated, which means that neither the Gav is still attached. We haven't completely ripped apart the two halves of an Olah. They're still attached at one point. So I understand very well to justify his comparison in the Sefer to Nifridu, right? Because Nifridu, we said that the Olam are still attached to the Shidra. But what's the Svar to say it's like Nifritsu? And why is it, you know, why is it Nifritsu? So I think the first Sad in the Bahag is making a very fascinating parallel. He's equating A to B. A is the relationship between the Olah and the Shidra. B is the relationship between one half of the Olah and the second half of the Olah. And in the first Sad of Kenifritsu Olav Dami, what he's postulating is that to the same extent the Olah is completely gone when it's detached, that's called Nifritsu, so too the Olah is gone when most of the Olah is not comprised of two Olam Dvukim Zelazah. So what he's doing is it's almost as if he's dramatizing in the first Sad how far reaching this now breakage of the Gav, which undermines the dvekus between the two sides of each Olah. It's so radical, it's so profound, that it's basically like the Olah doesn't exist anymore. You're mafkir the shame Olah, if I can use that term. The classical, shall we say, paradigm case of hafkar shame Olah is Nifritsu. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says, well, not, tie it up like a broom, and that's what he derives from Kafus. But if we don't accept Rabbi Yehuda, we go to Chachamim, then the basic requirement of an Olah is that it's connected to the Shidra. If it's disconnected, it's Nifrats. And if you have most of the Olah Nifritsu, then it's Pasul. Now we're saying is that to the same extent, the Olah, in order to have a Shem Olah, has to be connected to the Shidra, the two parts of the Olah have to be connected one to the other. And that he calls Nechlekat Tiyomis. Now, what does the Bahag completely omit, which Rashi made a big deal about? And for that matter, the Rambam omits it as well. The Sefer of Rashi. What was the Sefer of Rashi, or both sides? Nistaka HaShidra. Well, in the Rambam and in the Bahag, there's no hint to Nifritza or Nechlekha or Nistaka, whichever word you want to choose, HaShidra. And that's what he says over here. The Kasav, again, I hate to use the title of the Sefer because it confuses me. You know, sometimes I read the sentence and I'm trying to figure out, is he referring to the Lulav or is he referring to the name of the Sefer? So the name of the Sefer is the Kapos Tmarim. Sheyesh lehistapek in kavanaso sha'olah ha'elyon sha'osli mishnei olim ha'mechubar begavim nistak miroshol l'sofo. Very strange. He's trying to utilize the fundamental, shall we say, breakthrough of the Rambam the breakthrough of the Yesha Pirshu in Rashi, that there is one specific singular Olah which is absolutely critical, and he's trying to impose that on the Bahag. The Bahag didn't mention anything about that, but maybe the Bahag assumed that we knew that. It was Dover Pasha, he didn't have to spell it out. So Ha'olah Ha'elyon, this one Olah, right, with a Hey idea. Meaning, if we're going to identify the middle Olah as the one that was Nechlekos, so the question that bombards us is, isn't that just a repeat of at least the Yesh Shapirshu in Rashi, and it's a slightly different version than Rashi itself, and we're going to identify one specific Olah, that's the Olah Elyon that was split. So he says, no, the Chiddush of the Bahag, even if I identify it with that Pshat and Rashi, is that there was no Tzedek on the Shidra, which Rabbosai makes me very comfortable. As I said at the outset, I don't know why Rashi didn't quit while he was ahead. Rashi introduced here in Nechlekha HaTiyomis that the Shidra was split. Who revealed that secret to Rashi? It's like different views. Oh, Shekavanoso kipirisha rifa ramam shenizdak rov ole alulov. Okay, that could be good. Shame kfule begabam. Correct? But clearly, even according to the second interpretation of the Kapos Tmarim in the Baha'i, there is no split in the Shidra. The difference between the first shot of the Kapos Tmarim, the second shot of the Kapos Tmarim, is the nafkamina is whether or not we need Rov Olin. Again, this is not like the Meiri, but if we assume the simple shot in the Rambam that you need Rov Olin with damage, then in the second interpretation of the Baha'i, we need Rov Olin damaged. And then we're back to the Rambam. In the first approach in interpreting the Baha'i, the Kapos Tmarim is assuming that we're talking about identifying one specific, you know, ha'ala, I call it, with a hey idea, and you don't need other olim. And basically, what we're coming down to here is that I think the Baha'i has to be classified as either the Yesha Pirshu in Rashi or the Rambam Shita without the Meiri. Meaning, according to the two interpretations of the Baha'i, there's really nothing new in the Baha'i. The Kapos Tmarim is basically saying we're seeing old stuff. But let me make one comment. There is one, as I said before, one radical chiddush, a breakthrough in the Baha'i, that the Baha'i omits the Shidra. The Rambam omits the Shidra, so that's not a, that's, you know, Baha'i is not a Das Yochid. But if we're gonna superimpose onto the Baha'i Rashi's pshat that we're talking about a specific Ola, the Hei Yedia, the Ola Elyon, then by omitting the Shidra, we're saying something very radical. We're saying that the status of that Ola HaElyon, you know, the Chaloshim Tiomis as one, you know, one singular Ola, is independent of the Shidra. Whereas if you go back to the Yesha Pirshu, because they're stuck with Rashi Seifa, although they're giving special status to the Ola Emtsoi, but only insofar as the Ola Emtsoi is a continuation of what? Of the Shidra. You know, somehow the Ola Emtsoi in the Yesha Pirshu and Rashi is endowed with a special status because that is the continuation of the Shidra. That is the fruition or the culmination of the Shidra. Not so in the Baha'i. The Baha'i completely omits mention of the Shidra. All right, Rabosai, whatever we accomplish, we accomplish. We're 1/4 of the way to home plate. Okay, so we're at first base. Now I wanted to talk to you about Charusa. This we spoke about the other day. I want to repeat it again because I think it's now a little bit clearer to me. So if you're in the Gemara, and we spoke about Nechlaka Tiomes, and the Gemara is going to ask what's better, Nechlaka or Nitla Tiomes, then a little bit below that, the Gemara says the following. Omalei Ravina l'Ravashi. Mimai dahai kapos tmarim. How do we know that the kapos tmarim that the Torah describes, the lulavahu, it's our lulav. We'll soon see in the Rambam what that lulav is. Ema, perhaps, charusa. So Rashi, straight across, you can't miss the Rashi. Rashi says, charusa, anaf Hadekel. So basically, we're talking about a lulav, mind you. I mean, again, in the next question of the Gemara, we're going to talk about something other than a lulav, and maybe it's called kapos tmarim because it's somehow connected to the dekel tree. But now we're talking about a lulav. But what kind of lulav, Rabosai? An alta lulav. And the question is whether it's ready for retirement. Okay. Here in this country, they have what's called compulsory retirement. I have a few members of my family who are actually involved in legal cases to try to go beyond the age of keep their job. But anyway, so why is this charusa ready for retirement? So Rashi says that it was left on the dekel too long, 2 years or 3 years. Mishnes kasha shtei shanim v'shalosh. It gets hard on the tree. The Yotzim bo lulavim harbe shenoshru alehem viniskashu gamhem vinasu eitz. So this anaf hadekel, we'll call it a branch of the dekel tree, after a number of years, will produce, if you will, lulavim, correct? But what's different about these lulavim? In other words, lulavim will be long-lasting lulavim as far as the olim are concerned. The olim could last for a long time as long as the lulavim come from a young, healthy branch of a dekel. When they are produced by an alta, you know, anaf hadekel, then they have a different quality to them. And the quality to them is that their olim fall off. You know, it's like your hair falls out, right? So yotzim bo lulavim harbi shenashu aleihem. That's number one. And number two, niskashu gamhem v'nasu eitz. So even these lulavim that have at some point an olim, and now the olim have fallen off, not only that, but they become very hard. V'nasu eitz. Okay, until this point, I think I have a picture of what Rashi's talking about. Then again, it's another one of these cases where Rashi goes on and I lose him at the end in the safe. Fine. So we're going to stop here in Rashi for a moment, and we're going to try to figure out what bothers the Gemara. The Gemara rejects Charusa as a candidate for Kapos Tmarim, because be'ina kafus v'lecha. Now this is very strange, because it was Rabbi Yehuda in the previous sugya who insisted that we needed kafus. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda Omer in the Braisa right above us, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Kapos Tmarim Kafus. V'imhaya Parud or Pirud Yichatfenu. So you do an act of Kafus. Okay? So this is Rabbi Yehuda. It reminds us of the Shita Rabbi Elazar that the Lulav Tzarek Agat, right? So we're going to have a kind of a Kafus here. No, so when the Gemara asks the question, Ema Charusa, then maybe Charusa is Kapos Tmarim. But wait a minute. We said we need kafus. Kafus means to tie together. I mean, here nashu aleihem v'niskashu. I mean, there's nothing to combine together in a kafus. So the achronim are going to say that the Gemara's question is according to Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon don't have halacha of kafus. No, if the Rabbanon don't have a halacha of kafus, then I understand the havamin, and I can justify charus being a candidate for lula. But what's the Gemara's answer? Be'ina kafus v'leka. But wait a minute, it's only Rabbi Yehuda requires kafus. So this is what I wanted to show you here, that the achronim say the following. I circle it as number 2 in the handout. Do you have that? And if you take a look, he quotes again the Kapos Tmarim for this sugi of Kapos Tmarim on the fourth line. Hakusha, the Gemara's question, he ludas chachamim shechshiru af below kfisa. No, then the question arises: well, if that be the case, so what's the Gemara's answer? Why taka is charus excluded? So he says the following. In the case of Nifridu Olav, it's kosher even without kafus. But here, in the case of Charusa, it's possible. Why? Sha'af Chachamim Darshim Kafus. It's not that Chachamim what word am I looking for? They're completely unaware of kafus, or they don't acknowledge the requirement of kafus. They too require kafus. What's the chiddush of the Chachamim? How are they different than Rabbi Yehuda? El shedatam she'im hu roi l'kfisa ein kfisa ma'kevespa. V'lachem charusa she'eno roi l'kfisa pasul. So Rabbosai, do you remember what we how we embellished this the other day? Were you with me on that? I gave you an example of let's say Ner Hanukkah, that you have to have enough shemen in the Ner to be kosher, even though Kovsa Ein Zakakla. Do you remember any of that? Or was I... I'm not going to quiz you. So again, just to summarize what we see here in this Kapos Tmarim, Tarte Mashma, is a Gvaldik Achidish over here. The Chachovim require Kofus. But they only require Kofus as a description, as a requirement in the Cheftz of the Lulav. As long as the Lulav lends itself to Kofus, I don't need to actually do the Kfisa. But I need a lulav that's royal l'kfisa, that's omed l'kfisa. And in the case of Charusa, we don't have a lulav that's omed l'kfisa. I have one problem with this. I think it's a beautiful pshat, and I think it's emes l'amita. But I'll tell you what tickles my brain here. I don't know if it's going to bother you, but the Gemara speaks about Charusa at the very top of the omud. And you remember we had the Brisa that lists, that enumerates all the Psule Lulav. So for example, Akum Dome Lamago, Puzzle. You know, that's not a pretty Lulav. I mean, the Gemara is going to distinguish whether it was Lufanov, Leachor, or Fine. Charus, Puzzle. But Dome Lacharus is Kosher. But Charus is Puzzle. What does that word puzzle mean? Let me explain my question. There are two categories of disqualified lulavim. One category is there's something not so nice, it's not normal, it's like an abnormality. I call it a mum. It's distorted. And then there's something else where it's not a lulav. What would you say about charus? Is it a lulav, but it's pasul? It's a baal mum? Or it's not a lulav at all? What leads you to that conclusion, Sean? Because I came to the opposite conclusion.
Because a lulav is something that we know by its nature. You can shake it, it can move. You can shake a lulav. You're supposed to shake a lulav, because you can't shake.
Okay. But I'm going to ask you something else, Sean. In the list of this brisa, where charis appears, does the brisa indicate that it's not a lulav? I'll give you an example. Akum dome lamago. So the Ritva says on this akum dome lamago that it's possible because it's lacking hadar. Now, if it's lacking hadar, so the Raman Shita is that you can use it for the balance of Yotif. We discussed on many occasions. Which means that Akum Domel Amagel is certainly a lulav. If it's not a lulav, you can't use it in the balance of Yotif. And in the very next breath, the Brisa says, Charus Pasal.
And it says Domel Charus.
Yeah, okay, but before we get to Domo Lacharis, I'm just saying those two words in the Brisa, the fact that the Brisa classifies all these psulim, like kavutz, which we said according to the, if you remember we quoted the Levush, says it's possible because it's not Hadar. Akum Domo Lamagal, the Ritva says, is lacking in Hadar, which means, according to at least the Ramam Shita, many other Rishon perhaps, it's kosher for the balance of the yontif. It means it is a lulav just as possible. And then, in the same breath, the brisa declares charis to be possible. It sounds like it is a lulav.
But if you wouldn't have the next words, we could say, okay, maybe that's true. But it goes on to say, doma lecherut kosher. So it qualifies it.
Just like
I'm not sure if that supports your pshat or my pshat. I would have said it supports my pshat that if it's dome lecharus, it's kosher. Obviously, charis is a lulav.
Dome, but if it's outright charis, if you can't move it, then it's not kosher. If it just
it's definitely not kosher. Again, keep in mind, we're not arguing that it's disqualified. It says ulkachem lachem, and this does not qualify. I'm just asking, would it qualify for the other days of Yom?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you get a creation of the Brisa that says dome kosher, that means that the dome is kosher, but the charut itself is absolutely not kosher.
But why say it's not kosher? Tell me it's not a lulav. then I have a much more radical, far-reaching conclusion. It's not going to be, it's not going to be suitable for the rest of Yom Tov. I still have six more days of Yom Tov. You know, in the case of Akum Domo L'Magal, you called it Pasul. You didn't say it wasn't a Lulav. You should have at least indicated that we're talking about a whole different set of rules over here when you get to Charis. What do you say, Avi?
We do, just like in the first Mishnah. The Mishnah category grouped everything. A couple of psulim were listed and said Pasul. Another psulim were listed and said Pasul. Other psulim were listed and said Pasul. It broke each of them into category groups. If Bryce is doing the same thing. It's giving us group one, which has to have a similar psul, and then Charus has a psul, but it has to be different than the psulim of Kavod Tzaddik and Akum Domo L'Magal.
But again, is there a case where the Mishnah or any other source says psul and it's still, and it's not even a lulav? Do you have a, if you have a precedent for that? You know, if I were to tell you that a lulav that is three tefachim high is pasul, I don't know. That's a little bit strange to say such a thing. I don't know. But let me read to you the Rambam's.
Well,
Yavish
isn't pasul.
Yeah, but Yavish is certainly a lulav. Rashi says right. It's lacking in zekelim yamveu. Tosa says it's lacking in hodah. And the Rambam says it's kosher called shiva. So we're definitely talking about a lulav. So, you know, if you talk about lulav ayavish being pasul, you're not telling me it's not a lulav, that it doesn't belong to the min lulav. You know, I'm just saying, I see there's like a disconnect here between the sugya on the top of Lamed Beis, the brisa that lists and includes charis in the membership of all the lulav apsulim, and the sugya that we learned towards the, let's call it the second third of the page, or the third quarter of the page, where the Gemara says, what is Kapos Tmarin? And maybe Charusa could be called Kapos Tmarin. The answer is no. It's Bein and Kofus Malekah. I want to quote to you the Rambam's language. The Rambam says, Kapos Tmarin Hamuras Bitorah, Hein Charios Shel Dekel. So these are the branches of the tree, called the Dekel tree. Kishi Yitzmechu. In other words, they're mature. In other words, at the very beginning, early stage of development, that's not, you know. But even though it's kishi yitzmachu, it's got a development of maturity, right? It's a gadol, it's not a cotton. But kodem shi yisparadu ha'olim. It's got to be that middle stage of development. There are three stages, the Rambam says. There's kodem shi yitzmachu, there's li'achar shi yisparadu, and then there's li'achar shi yitzmachu, but kodem shi yisparadu. And the Rambam goes on to say, "Kshia kmo sharvit," it's like a sheath. For who anikra lulav? In other words, the shidra is like placed into a sheath, a container, because it has the olim lekan ulekan. So, what is the Rambam doing with charis? Right, charis is already in stage three, where Rashi says already the olim are separated and they're already falling apart, falling off. And the Rambam is addressing what question in this halacha? It's Perek Zayin halacha Aleph.
Whether it's a lulav or not.
Exactly. 100%, Avi. You saved the day for me. I was going to get depressed. So you saved it. So the Rambam is telling you what's Kapos Tmarin. The Rambam says, Kapos Tmarin Mamuras B'Torah. It's not this early stage. It's not this late stage. It's right in the middle. It would seem from the Rambam that the psul of Charus is that it's not a lulav. It's not a psul boom. Like a case of Akum and Kavutz and all that stuff. Yeah. And therefore the Rambam would certainly maintain that you can't use it for the entire
that's
shiz.
Why the Brice is separated out with its own soul.
Maybe, I don't know. But I'm just saying that there are two ways of going here in terms of Charus. That's interesting. Alright, let's move on to what's number three on our list, Tzinei HaBarzel? Of course I lost my page.
Yeah.
My fly page, my title page, but anyway, it's what. Oh, here it is. Good. Tzinei HaBarzel. Okay, so let's see what goes on in Tzinei HaBarzel. The Gemara says, okay, now as an introduction to Tzinei HaBarzel, we have to read the next three or four words in the Gemara. V'ema ufta. Ufta sounds like Yiddish to me. Okay, ema ufta. Rashi tells you what it is in French. It's tyler. Okay, what's right? You have the Rashi. It's a few lines down. He says, "Me ikar adekel shehu chalak V'ein anaf yotzi menu lekan ulekan she'ein lecha kofus heimenu. So Rashi points out that the Gemara already knows that you need kofus, but this is kofus. The only thing it's missing anafim. In other words, somehow maybe it's at the base of the decal tree and anafim don't grow from it, but it's definitely kofus. No, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Then the Gemara says, "Tzini Abarzel Kshera." Omar Abai Lo Shano El Sherosho Shel Zeh Magil Rosho with Tzadikro Shel Zeh. In other words, the entire Shidra is covered by what? By a limb, right? Abol Ein Rosh Shel Zeh Magil Tzadikro Shel Zeh. There's some sort of a bald spot in between. They don't connect. The top of the olah doesn't reach the bottom of the next olah. Possible. And Tanya Nami Hochi Tzine Harabarzel Psua. Vatanyuk Shera, Vanan Tanan Shera, Shmamino Kidabaye, Shmamino, the Ika, the Romile, Mirme, Tanan, Sine Abarzal, Kosha Vatanya, Psua, Omrabailo, Kashikan, Sherosho, Shel Zemagil, Tad Ikro, Shel Zekan, Shane Rosh, Shel Zemagil, Tad Ikro, Shel Zem. Okay, so take a look at number 3 on the page I gave you. And here we have a machlokes between the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Bir Halacha on one side and the Chazon Ish on the other side. So in order to understand what they're arguing about, we'll start with the Ran. The Ran says that Tzine HaBarzel Psua Afilu b'miu talulov. Now there's one, let's give it an extreme case. There's one point somewhere in all the connections between the olim where there's a disconnect between the olim below and the beginning of the olim above. That one psul is enough. One, let's say, Tzini HaBarzel phenomenon will completely undermine the lulav. Why, says the Gaon? Because you need Shidra Mechusa. The Shidra is naked at one point. Just at one point. And it could be, as we saw in the case of Ofta, well, actually, we didn't see in the case of Ofta, we saw in the case of Charusa, that Nashru Olav, that the Olam fell down. Says the Gaon, Havi Ufta, the status of Tzine HaBarzel is identical with that of Ufta. Upasal Afilu Bimiuta.
Where's Ufta?
Ufta, we said before, was a part of the decal tree on the bottom, which is just like a branch that made up of many different shoots. But there are no branches or lulavim that will grow from them, as opposed to the body of the decal tree, where shoots of anafim, each of which produce lulavim, come out. So we're going down to sort of like the base of the decal tree.
Like a thick wood.
Yeah, it's a thick, Rashi calls it, Ein lecha kofus heimenu. This is like your paradigm of many different pieces that became one, you know. So now the Bir Halacha quotes the Rav Shulchan Aruch, and the Rav Shulchan Aruch says that if most of the Shidra is covered, and you have, let's say, the size, the minimum size, which we're going to discuss later, of the Shidra is covered by Olim, then it's kosher. When is it called Tzine HaBarzel? That's only if Rov of the Shidra is exposed. And to prove this, he quotes the Halach of Hadassim. Hadassim also, the twig, the branch of the Hadass has to be covered, in this case by its olive. Mm-hmm. And if Rov of the Shear of Hadass which let's say is three tvach, roman three tvachim, is covered by its olim, even though in certain places it's not covered by its olim. You know, we try to be mahadar and try to find, you know, hadassim where there's nothing, you can't even, you know, the naked eye doesn't see apparently through these olim, because the olim cover the entire hadas. But if rove of the hadas of the shidra is covered, it should be kosher. So we have now a profound machlokas here between the Ran, who says that somehow this halacha of Tzinei HaRabarzel is fundamentally different than Kisui HaShidra, because in the case of Kisui HaShidra, all you would need is Rov Shidra, whereas the Ran insists that even the Miut Halul of its Pasul. And on the other hand, you have the Bir Halacha standing on the shoulders of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, says that the Lulav is only possible if Rov Shidra is not Mechusa. But if Rov Shidra is Mechusa, then even though Mi'uto is Megula, it's Kosher. V'achazon Ish Tama Al Bir Halacha. He doesn't understand the Bir Halacha. Why not? Because Shekein Apsul Eino Midin Ufta El Midin Sinei Abarzel Shebazeh Posul Afilu B'Miuta.
What does Miuta mean?
Miuta means, you know, part of, but a minority part of the lulav of the shidra.
It's hard. Part of his heart.
No, he's saying like this. He's saying that The problem with Tzinei HaBarzel, because, you know, since the olim don't touch each other, right, so that there's a gap between this olim and the next level of the olim, is that part of the shidra is now exposed. So the Chazon Ish understands very well that even if that part of the shidra represents a minority part of the shidra, that's enough to passel the lulav. On the other hand, he says, the assumption of the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Bir Halacha is that the psul of HaRabarzel, of Tzinei HaRabarzel, is the same, as identical as Ufta. And in order to create a situation of Ufta, you have to talk about the entire lulav, or at least most of the lulav. Most of the lulav is like Ufta, and therefore it's exposed. So what do you see from the Chazon Ish, Rabosai? What conclusion do we have to draw from the Chazon Ish?
Difference between Ufta and Sinei.
Correct, that Sinei HaRabarzel is a different entity and a different psul than Ufta. And I think perhaps what the Chazon Ish is talking about here is that Ufta, since in its natural state it doesn't have the qualities of a lulav, so Ufta is not a lulav, which we said in the Rambam is true even for Charusa. So the very sugya of Kapos Tmarim Dululava, what is Kapos Tmarim Velulav? And the Gemara rejects Charusa and then rejects Ufta to the same extent that Charusa is not a Lulav, Ufta is not a Lulav. Comes along the Chazon Ish and he says, you know what? Charusa is a biological entity that's kinderech priyoso, that's the way it's born. Ufta is kinderech priyoso. And the nature of these two categories of charusa and ufta is that they don't qualify as a lulav. That's not what the Torah had in mind when it said kapos tmarim. But not so Tzinei HaRabarzel. Tzinei HaRabarzel is certainly a lulav. In fact, the Mishnah says that Tzinei HaRabarzel is kshera, and Abai says because Rosh Shalzeh Magila Rosh Lutzariko Shalzeh. It would be very odd to say that according to Abaye, in the case where Tzinei HaRabarzel is possible, that it's a different entity and it's not a lulav at all. But rather, it's not a beautiful lulav. It's not your standard, you know, epitome or paradigm of a lulav. It's like a baal mum. There's a mumia. So the Chazon Ish has no problem with the Ran, that even b'mi'uto, it's still not as beautiful, it's still not as healthy in its appearance as a classical lulav. So it's a baal mum. It's like akum, if you remember we discussed that, or kavutz, where, you know, it's just not beautiful, it's not comfortable. Here too, it's a mutation. I think that could be a good word. So if we come to the point where there's a serious mutation here, it doesn't have to affect Rov. The Bir Alach, on the other hand, he's not talking about a psul of mum. He's talking about the fact that this is not a luluf at all, and therefore he's going to compare it to ufta. Well, if it's missing a little bit of a part of the overlap of the olim at one particular isolated place, and it's a mute, so that you can talk about whether it's beautiful or not beautiful, but it's not going to qualify as tzini arabazel. Tzini arabazel has to be something which is completely taken out of the category of kapos tmarim. In order to do so, you have to strip its olim, and what you're left with is basically a shidra without olim. A shidra without olim is not a lulav. But that only applies if rov olim have fallen off. Okay, I guess the fourth subject we don't have time for today is the subject of the shear of a lulav. You have that fourth page here, right? Okay, so we'll pick that up with Mitzvah Shev on Monday. Good.